I saw a meme this week that said, it's pastor's kid day. Pastor's kids are responsible for like 76% of all sermon illustrations worldwide. So thank your pastor's kid today. And I do often use my kids for illustrations. So I thought, let's use something different this morning. A rose bush in my garden. Just to change it up a bit. Next week you'll hear about my kids again. So we do have a rose bush. Whoops. We do have a rose bush in our garden. We aren't really making any effort to keep it alive. My wife and I don't have green fingers. We don't enjoy gardening at all. And yet this thing stubbornly keeps on growing. It doesn't look its best. Leaves a bit curled. Doesn't really bloom. The one or two flowers it carries doesn't really look nice. It doesn't really attract any bees. It's very sad, really. Now, Stefan's wife, Debbie, keeps on urging us to take care of this thing because she loves roses. But it's just not our priority. So it just stands in the corner and does what it does. Okay, so there is a principle about this rose bush for our lives. What you feed will grow, and what you starve will die. So what did you feed in your soul this morning? Before you came to church? Did you listen to some worship music? Did you pray before church? Did you pray for your soul before you came to church? Did you check Facebook, Instagram, watch TikTok videos? Had an argument with your spouse or your kids because they were just so slow in getting ready? Dressing incorrectly for this morning's service. Yeah, getting ready in their swimsuit when we're going to church. Jesus set an example for us in all things. Hebrews 4 verse 15 says, He was tempted in every way as we are, and yet He was without sin. So He also set an example for us in how to feed our souls. Matthew 4 tells us about the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. Matthew 4 verse 1 to 3, I'm going to read quickly. It's not going to be up there. You're welcome to follow in your Bibles. Matthew 4 verse 1 to 3. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter, Satan, came and said to him, If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Now Jesus had a choice. He could choose to keep fasting and praying, or he could choose to eat. Now verse 2 tells us, he had been fasting and praying for 40 days, and he was hungry. So turning a stone into bread, which he could do because he's God and he can do everything, doesn't seem like a big deal, especially when you're hungry. So to be clear, giving food to a body that hasn't eaten for 40 days is not a sin, right? Can anybody agree with me with that? That's not a sin. But that's not the issue. The issue is who Jesus would obey. Choosing to pray and fast was to obey God and feed His Spirit. And choosing to eat would be to obey Satan and sin. Now in this instance, it was a literal feeding because Jesus would literally be eating something because he was hungry and the stone would be turned into bread. But the spiritual aspect behind this is that Jesus would feed a desire of his flesh and thereby commit a sin because he was hungry and his flesh wanted sustenance, wanted to eat. We are being presented by this choice every day. Do we feed the Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit, and starve our flesh? Or do we feed the sinful desires of our flesh and starve a relationship with God? Bless you. Contemplate this question. What are we feeding? If you think about this morning, think about this weekend, think about the past week. What did you feed in your soul? How many times did you feed the Holy Spirit in you this week? And how many times did you feed the sinful desire of your flesh this week? And starve the Spirit. So you can only feed one, starve the other. Because what you feed will grow, and what you starve will die. So if you feed the Holy Spirit in you, your relationship with God will grow, and you'll start bearing godly fruit. But if you feed the flesh, the sin in your life will grow, and it will start replacing your relationship with Christ in your life. Paul talks about the Spirit versus the flesh in Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 16 and verse 17. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So you see, you will either feed the Holy Spirit in you and starve your flesh, or you will feed your flesh and starve the Holy Spirit in you. That's simple. There is no middle ground. It's not a balancing act. You're not a juggler trying to juggle the flesh and the Spirit. You're either feeding one and starving the other, or feeding the Spirit and starving the flesh. You have to make a choice. Paul wrote to the Galatians to warn them of the fruit of feeding their flesh. Galatians 5, verse 19 to 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. And I warn you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. On the flip side, Paul tells them what it looks like if you feed your spirit. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23, just continuing that chapter. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, that's patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So let's look at my original statement again. What you feed will grow, and what you starve will die. So let's rephrase that differently, with a little bit more urgency. The reality is, every moment of every day, something in your soul is being fed, and something in your soul is being starved. So when I said earlier, you have to choose, you are already choosing. Even if you don't know it, every moment of every day, something in your soul is being fed, and something in your soul is being starved. I ask you again, so are you feeding the Holy Spirit in you? Or are you feeding the lusts and the passions of the flesh? So before we ask, how do we feed the Holy Spirit in us? We need to know how we get the Holy Spirit in us. That's step one. Ephesians 1 verse 13. In Him, that's Jesus, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, in Jesus, you were sealed with a promised Holy Spirit. So, church, if you've ever doubted, is that a creaky door? I'll bring some Q20 next week. If you've ever doubted that you have the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:13 can't be clearer. If you have accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. You are the temple in which the Holy Spirit dwells. So that moment that you gave your life to Jesus is the moment that Jesus gave you the best gift ever, salvation of your soul and eternal life. And that is also the moment that He gave you the precious, precious gift of the Holy Spirit that dwells within your heart. So you see, you can't feed the Holy Spirit in you if you don't know Jesus, because you don't have the Holy Spirit in you yet. You first must know Jesus. That is the key. So how do we feed the Spirit? I am so glad you guys asked me that question. I was waiting for that the whole sermon. So the Bible does give us a lot of instructions. Since 7 is a holy number, I decided to highlight 77 scriptures this morning. That's a joke. I've only got 4. Colossians 3 verse 2. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things of this earth. Set your minds. Lift your eyes. Think on. Ponder. Dwell on. Remain there in your thoughts on the things of God. Don't look at your circumstances. That doesn't determine who you are. And that doesn't determine what feeds your soul. Your relationship with Christ is what feeds your soul. Romans 12 verse 2. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't be like this world. Don't talk like this world. Don't think like this world. Don't do the things that this world does. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5. Paul writes, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to obey Christ. The New Living Translation says it well. It says, capture rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Capture your rebellious thoughts. Hand up who has had a rebellious thought. There we go. I see some of you have, 2 or 3. Yeah. The rest of you are perfect. I'm glad. Capture your rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. It's a great verse, but a great challenge. Don't you agree? How difficult is it to capture rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ? There's another scripture that I'm not going to read now, but basically it says, don't even let one sinful thought in. Because one sinful thought is the start of a sinful desire. It gives birth to sin in your life, and it leads to death. Words that Paul wrote. Philippians 4, verse 8 to 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about, the King James Version says, dwell on. So I like the King James Version. And depending on how much of a linguist you are, think on could mean, I think Marshall has got a great green shirt on, and then that's the end of that thought train. Where dwell on just has that meaning of you remain somewhere. You set up camp. You dwell. Dwell on these things. Then Paul says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So Paul himself practices these things, and he puts himself forward as an example to be followed. He says, what you have seen in me, now you go and you practice that. And so must we all. We all must be shining examples of leading a life that is visibly feeding the Holy Spirit in us and not our earthly passions of the flesh. We must be examples of feeding the Holy Spirit and starving sin from our life. Luke 6, verse 43 to 45. Jesus says, for no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. And the evil person, out of the evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. So you see, church, you cannot hide what you feed. You can't hide it. It will eventually become evident in your life by the fruit you bear, no matter how much you try and hide it. It will spill from your actions. It'll spill from your lips. It will spill from the life's choices you make. Every moment of every day, feed the Holy Spirit in you and starve your sinful desires and your fleshly passions from your life. Every time you make a decision, ask Jesus, is this feeding your Holy Spirit in me and starving sin from my life? Or is this feeding my sinful desires and killing my relationship with you? Coming in for a landing, Titus 2 verse 11 to 14, one of my favorite scriptures. For the grace of God has appeared, referring to Jesus, bringing salvation for all people. What does Jesus do for us? Trains us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope. What is our hope? The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the inheritance He will give us one day, eternal life, who gave Himself for us. We just remembered it this morning when we did communion, to redeem us from all lawlessness. So you see, beloved, you don't have any excuses to feed your flesh, because Jesus has redeemed us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession. Jesus wants to purify us for Him. So you are depriving Jesus of a pure you if you make bad decisions for your life. Purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are zealous for good works. Are you zealous for good works this morning? Are you zealous for the things of God? Desperate, like that word that dropped into my spirit when we worshipped. Are you desperate for God this morning and for the things of God? Are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to make decisions that are uncomfortable for you, but that is better for God's kingdom? Jesus did. He made a decision that was uncomfortable for Him. Again, we just thought about it this morning when we took communion. But it was for the good for us and for God's kingdom that He sacrificed Himself. Okay, I've already actually made this point. Sorry, I was totally off my notes. So you see, it's only through Jesus that we're able to say no to ungodliness in our lives. And it's only through Jesus that teaches us. Bless you, Marshall. That we're able to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age.